is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
He's my rock, sword and shield. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's my lily of the valley. He's my bride and my morning star. Makes no difference what they say. I'm going down on my knees and pray. Cause I'm going. I believe I'll wait on Jesus. I'm gonna wait
on Jesus.
Oh, until He's my rock, sword and shield. He's my wheel in the middle of. He's my lily under of the valley. He's my bride and my morning star. It makes no difference what they say. I'm going down on my knees and pray. Cause I'm gonna
wait on Jesus.
I believe I'll wait on Jesus. I've got to wait on Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, and I'm waiting.
I'm waiting. Anybody waiting?
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Anybody waiting?
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Come on, wave your hand.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
If you're waiting on Jesus.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
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 Anybody waiting?
Yeah.
Anybody waiting? Yeah. Cause I waited. I waited. I waited.
Yeah.
I waited. Yeah. Yeah. If you waited.
Hallelujah.
If you waited. If you waited. Yeah, I waited.
Hallelujah. Come on. If you're going to wait on him, give him praise. Ah, what a great job, brothers. Our male chorus. Let's thank God for them once again. I'm waiting on Jesus. As we stand all over this place, if you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. Verses 1 through 9. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And since there are so many verses, I'm going to start reading. And if you're late getting there, amen, just catch me, all right? Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Verse 2, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Verse 4. Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We ask, God, that you would bless us now through thy word, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk first and foremost to the brothers, to the men, but certainly to all of us from this subject, what to do when the pressure is rising. What to do when the pressure is rising. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Usher. Every one of us has to live life dealing with pressure, but not all of us know how to handle pressure. Nehemiah, however, is a great example of how to stay focused and resolute when immersed under constant pressure. He's not like that post-it note that is often posted outside of secretaries' offices, which says, I can only please one person a day, and today is not your day, and tomorrow doesn't look good either. I think my secretary has that in her office somewhere. Amen. Nehemiah has done a lot better than that when it comes to dealing with unrelenting pressure. The responsibilities of leadership have not weakened him. The constant threat of attack from formidable enemies does not deter him. Israel's pained history of false starts and failures wasn't enough to stop him from encouraging people to keep pressing forward as they worked to rebuild the walls. By the time we get to chapter 6, the wall is rebuilt, the gaps in the wall have been filled in, and all that remained was for the doors and the gates to be set in place. However, despite progress, despite excitement among the people, those that never wanted to see this day come to fruition have not yet given up. And here we find that chapter 6 opens with that same antagonistic environment. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, that crew is once again scheming and strategizing. Their plan is to invite Nehemiah to Kephirim in the Valley of Ono, and once he gets there, he will be assassinated, and the hope is that his death would so frustrate the workers that they'd let what they feel about his loss keep and prevent them from completing an almost finished wall. You would think that by this time, Sanballat and crew would have given up trying to mess with Nehemiah and the Jews who were rebuilding the wall. Because the text says that the wall is complete, and the only thing that is left to be done is that the doors need to be set in place at the gates. The message came to Nehemiah, inviting him to a meeting. Well, Nehemiah quickly responds, and his response is this. His response is, I cannot come down because the work to which I have committed myself is too great. Why should the work stop so that I can come down to meet with some Negroes who have no good in their hearts and who don't have the best interest of the job in mind? I did say Negroes, didn't I? Y'all got to pray for your pastor. They start pressuring him. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Four times in verse 4, they send the same message, despite him having said no three times. After the fourth decline of their invitation, a fifth attempt was made. And the Bible says an unsealed letter was sent to him. Now, the fact that the writer gives us that description is very instructive. The fact that he mentions that it was an unsealed letter. Because, you see, in Nehemiah's day, to send an unsealed letter was a sign of disrespect. In that time, letters of such a sensitive nature were usually sent to the recipient in a silk bag with the letter sealed. The unsealed letter had the following content. Look at what it said. It said, Nehemiah, word is out that you're leading a rebellion. In other words, rumor has it, and everybody's saying, and y'all know them some hard folk to catch up with. Amen. They said, everybody's saying amen. And I've come to find out that a lot of times when folk come to you with they said and everybody's saying it, amen, the only one really saying it is the person who's bringing you that news. Do I have a witness here today? Amen. Now, Nehemiah, they suggest to Nehemiah that is problematic in this unsealed letter because the king is going to hear about, amen, this supposed rebellion. The king is going to hear about it. And Brother Nehemiah, if that word gets out, you're going to die. So don't you think you ought to come and sit down and meet with us so we can kill this rumor? Amen. Let's talk it over so that we can come to some resolution. When Nehemiah got the letter and read it over, he quickly sent another response. He said, I know and you know that you're making this up. If it was today, he'd say, everybody know you're lying. He then interprets what's being done. He says they were trying to intimidate us into quitting. And brothers, I have come by today in the midst of all that is going on in society, in the midst of all that is going on in our world and in your home and in the community. With all the stuff that's happening, I've come by to encourage the men of Pleasant Hill, amen, that no matter what the enemy tries to do, don't you quit. Come on, help me. Nudge somebody and tell them, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. The lesson for us is extremely simple. The enemy introduces pressure to attempt to prevent us from walking in the completed work of God. Can I tell you that the enemy brings pressure to your life to do a couple of things? Number one, he brings pressure to your life to draw you away from the place you ought to be focused. I ought to have a witness in here today. Nehemiah, come meet us in Kephirim, away from the work and away from the workers. And the enemy attempts to draw you away from the place where you ought to be focused because he doesn't want you to finish what God has started. He doesn't want you to grow strong while attempting to grow up. He wants you to always still be in pursuit, still be short of your destiny, still outside of the place and the promise of God for your life. I have come by this morning, Pleasant Hill, my brothers and my sisters, to tell you that God is trying to take you somewhere. God is trying to elevate you. God is trying to promote you. And can I tell you something? You ought to be tired of being stuck in the same place. Is there anybody in here who really believes what the word says? I can do all things through Christ. Is there anybody in here who has walked with God long enough to believe that there is greater that he has for you? There is more. We said our theme for this year is seeking God for more in 2024. But you need to understand that your haters and the devil himself don't want you to have more. But Pastor Garner has come by to tell you, don't quit. Don't let them Negro, don't let them folk, amen, distract you from your destiny. Do you know what I found out, amen, over 32 years of pastoring, amen, that sometimes it's the folk all up in your face all the time. Sometimes it's the folk, amen, cheering you on the loudest, amen. But behind your back, they got something else to say about you. But I have made up in my mind that God has been too good for me. I'm not going to let pressure distract me. I'm not going to let anybody keep me from accomplishing what God has for my life. Am I by myself in this room today? He brings pressure to your life to draw you away from the place that you ought to be focused. Amen, 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 amen. So the enemy brings pressure to our lives to draw us away from the place where we ought to be focused. But secondly, the enemy brings pressure to our lives to distract us from the level to which we've been assigned. Y'all, God has an assignment for your life. I hope that you're not just wandering like the children of Israel. Remember a couple of Sundays ago, I told you how they were wandering and wondering. They were W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G as well as W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. They were wondering and wondering, amen, what God had for their lives. I have come by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that God has an assignment for your life. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. You are here with purpose. And if you want to know what your purpose is, you need to get in the Word, and you need to let the Word get in you. You need to have a talk with the Lord. Do I have a witness today? So secondly, the enemy brings pressure to our lives to distract us from our assignment. Nehemiah's response is interesting. Notice, my brothers and sisters, what he does not say. He does not say, I can't meet with you. He does not say, amen, why don't y'all come meet with me? But he says, I can't come down because I'm doing a great work. The inference is this. This work is so great that it necessitates that I stay up. And what you are inviting me to necessitates that I come down. And if I come down, then the great work that has called me up is going to be left undone. I cannot come down. And anyone or anything or any situation that is inviting you to move from where God is working strongest in your life is inviting you to come down. And I don't know about you, but I've come to the conclusion that I have fought too hard to get where I am now. And now that God has taken me up, I'm not going to let illicit invitations bring me down. Somebody ought to say, I'm with you, Pastor. I'm with you, Pastor. He sends pressure to draw you away from the place where you ought to be focused. He sends pressure to distract you from the level to which you've been called. The enemy brings pressure to our lives, thirdly, to dampen our motivation. He wants to kill your spirit. Amen. Nehemiah's enemies think that if they keep the pressure up, they will frustrate him and discourage him. You can look at the pressured areas of your own life, the wasted time that you've given to worrying. Amen. The time you wasted being anxious. Amen. What do you do when the pressure rises? Kids acting crazy? Bills due? Social injustice? Health issues? Obligations? Deadlines? Disappointments? What do you do? Because all of us can respond once, like Nehemiah did. Amen. A few of y'all can respond twice, like Nehemiah did. But Nehemiah responds five times. I ain't coming down. The work is too great. I can't come down. Amen. Amen. Five times to handle that kind of pressure and persistence, and then add to the pressure the insult and disrespect, the negative perception of you by others that comes along with the unsealed letter. But look at what Nehemiah does, because this is what we ought to do as well. The first thing the text teaches us is that we ought to act as if we know that God is the best place to find refuge when you're under pressure. Act like you know that God is the best place to find refuge, to find rest, to find reassurance when you find yourself under pressure. Please don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because the devil will give you all kind of things and options and, amen, stuff, amen, have you running and looking for love in all the wrong places, have you running and looking for rest in all the wrong places, have you running and looking for refuge in all the wrong places, amen. Nehemiah teaches us that the best place to find rest when you're under pressure is you better learn how to run to God. You better learn how to run to God. We're never to deal with rising pressure by ourselves. Because even though we may be at times physically by ourselves, we need to be reminded that even when the pressure is mounting, we are never by ourselves. Oh God, I think it was the Hawkins family who had a song many years ago that said, never alone, never alone. Amen. He promised never to leave me, never alone. And I hope that encourages somebody today, because sometimes the folk that you felt like you could count on will leave you out there by yourself. Sometimes your family and your friends, when you find yourself in trouble and in need of help, they will leave you out there by yourself. But I want to remind you, my brothers and my sisters, that if you are a child of God, you are never alone. But how often do we forget that God is with us? How much stress and worry and anxiety and pressure do we allow ourselves to be consumed with because we forget that God is with us? So in verse 9, look at what Nehemiah did. Look at what Nehemiah does in verse 9. Nehemiah prays, God, strengthen my hands. Let me pause parenthetically and tell you something about pressure. Some pressure is good, because some pressure motivates us to do what we should have been doing. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. But we don't normally do it. But every now and then, the pressure will get so tough and so rough that we'll do what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah got on his knees and he prayed to God. He said, Lord, strengthen my hands. Some of us, amen, got our acts together, got serious about getting our lives together because of pressure. Some pressure forces us to take action. Some pressure reveals some dormant strengths in us. Some pressures, amen, reminds us of some strength that we forgot that we had. Sometimes pressure reveals our gifts and our talents and our abilities. Thank God for pressure when it motivates us to do what we should have been doing all along. But ultimately, pressure ought to cause you to run to God. You need to know that God is our refuge. Oh, my. Oh, my. I said God is our refuge. There's a parking garage in New Orleans. Sometimes when I'm in New Orleans, I have to park my car in this parking garage. And, you know, it's like eight stories, and it's solid concrete. And whenever you go to the elevator, you'll see a sign that says this garage has been designated a refuge from storm. In other words, what they're suggesting is that structure is so solid that if a hurricane or if a tornado comes through there, if you can just get to that parking garage, amen, it greatly increases your chances of surviving. Oh, I thought somebody would find a shout right through there. I've come by to tell you that when you find yourself under pressure, you better figure out that God is our refuge. He is our strength in the time of need, and you better learn how to run to him. Is there anybody in here? You've been in a storm. You've been in a fight. You've been in a situation, but you found out that if I can just get to God, he is indeed a refuge. You run there. You crawl there. You stop whatever else you're doing, and you get to your refuge, because it's under the shelter of the Almighty that you find refuge. God is our refuge. God is the best place to rest when you're under relenting pressure. Don't get high. Don't go get drunk. Don't make a mistake. Don't max out your credit cards. Don't run your car into a tree. But when you're under that kind of pressure, when the job is about to do the next round of layoffs and you're wondering if it's gonna be you, don't lose sleep. Don't stop eating. When you look at your bank account and it's suffering from anorexia, when you have more month than you have money, don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't decide this is the time to retreat, surrender, or run. When you're under that kind of pressure, I'll tell you what you need to do. Go to your refuge where God can be your strength. Because when we are weak, I said, when we are weak, I said, when we are weak, I said, when we are weak, I just